Blog Talk Radio.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ.
Good morning, dear saints, and welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News. Yes, on Christ we stand and nothing else. on Christ alone. On Christ alone. On Christ alone. Solus Christus. On Christ alone. On Christ alone. Well, I'm excited to be here this morning because when you give an old junkyard dog like me another opportunity to bark, and I would love to bite. I would really love for one of these members of the Joint College of African American Bishops to call into the broadcast. And it's easy to do for any of you cowards who are tuned in. You can call me at 646 area code 564-9730. You can call me in at 646-564-9730. Because, like I said, I love to bark, and this show, this broadcast, allows me to do a lot of barking. But really, 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 you know, you go to the next level, and these guys like to talk about a shift. Well, this junkyard dog would like to also experience a shift from just barking to biting. So is there anyone out there? Is there anyone out there from the so-called Joint College of African American Bishops who would dare call the broadcast and go mano a mano with Radio Reformer? Is there anybody out there? Is Bishop J. Delano Ellis available? Is he is the Metropolitan of the Joint College of African American Bishops? Is he available? Is he available? Can the author of the book, The Bishopric, A Handbook on Creating Episcopacy in the African American Pentecostal Church, can he call in this broadcast? I mean, he talks about how it is important for anyone who's a member of this college to have the academic training, because according to him, no idiots, no morons, no jackasses should be allowed to join the Joint College of African American Bishops. Well, they're loaded. They're teeming with jackasses. They're teeming with jackasses. Check out the book, Jackass Church Bishops. Check it out. Check it out, folks. Go to our website. Go to paganbishops.com, paganbishops.com, and you can also read the write-up on Nehushtan Church Bishops. Two books you should get. And our third installment, we have 12 books that we're releasing. A third installment, which is called Draconian Tsunami, will be released the second Saturday of May. The second Saturday of May, we are releasing Draconian Tsunami, based on Revelation chapter 12, verse 15. Revelation 12, 15. Draconian Tsunami. Well, folks, don't forget that this coming Friday, we're going to continue with our Alice Bailey broadcast. This will be broadcast number 3, and Sister Marie will be in studio to talk to us about Alice Bailey and the New Age. Alice Bailey and the New Age. Alice Bailey is the prophetess of what we call the mystery of iniquity. And in these broadcasts, Sister Marie is uncoiling the snake. She's revealing Satan's end time agenda. So you don't want to miss the highlight of this broadcast, which is every Friday. Every single Friday. Well, I want to welcome all of our listeners from Canada, from England, from the country of Norway, and from Africa, from parts of Europe, other parts of Europe like Germany. I want to welcome, of course, our listeners who tune in from coast to coast in the United States. And yes, Reformation News Reformation News is indeed making news because we're the only group out there putting forward a contemporary 95 thesis. We're the only group. And that just may be that that is our assignment from the Lord. So it is not a boast, it's just a fact. And we need you to tell others about this 95 thesis. Why? Because it is this document that we're presenting to you, and we just gave you one bullet point per broadcast. We're presenting one bullet point per broadcast, and what we're endeavoring to do is to cause conversation. We want to stir you. We want to stir you to start conversing and cause you to talk about these bullet points that we are presenting to you, because that's what a proposition is. That's what a thesis is. It's a simple, concise statement challenging the Joint College of African American Bishops. We're challenging their claims. They make a lot of claims. Well, we have 95 propositions that we're laying out within a four-month period. This one happens to be number 17. Number 17. I'll be back tomorrow with number 18. And then, of course, on Friday, Sister Marie will be in studio. So then I'll be back on Saturday and Sunday with more propositions. And when I'm not on the air, I'm just waiting for you to catch up, because I don't want to just keep laying out propositions and you haven't read them and you haven't listened to the broadcast. And we understand that people are very busy, very, very, very busy. And they got other things going on in their life. So one of the things that they tune into is this broadcast. So we're doing what the Lord has asked us to do. We're presenting to you in this year that marks the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. We are giving you a new and contemporary 95 thesis, tailor-made to confront the heresy and this demonic form of government, which is this episcopacy that has been birthed in the African American church. It's demonic. It does not derive its origin from Jesus. I don't care what these guys say. And I've been putting out the challenge out there, but none of them will. Now, doesn't that speak volumes? I mean, don't they have hundreds of members? And doesn't the institution claim to be a scholarly organization? In fact, let me play this for you. Let me. This is the one of the co-founders. There was four co-founders, and here is the Metropolitan of Metropolitans, the author of the book, The Bishopric, a handbook on creating episcopacy in the African American Pentecostal Church, and he goes by the name of Bishop J. Delano Ellis. And this is him. He's taught now you're going to listen to him and you're going to say, wow, this group is loaded with scholars. Listen to this.
The Joint College of Bishops is a vision that grew out of a perceived need for preparing historically African American men and women for episcopal office. The problem at the time and even now was the illegitimate manner in which bishops proliferated onto the church scene. They erupted on the scene motivated by personal desires for acclaim and having insufficient academic and or spiritual credentials. They had no record of ministerial formation to say, nothing of the right to be called by exalted titles.
Now, did you hear that? He said they had no record of formal training. They couldn't produce a transcript. They couldn't tell you what school they went to. They had no schooling. And as such, they had no right to go by exalted titles. Now, he's telling you that the bishopric and the way he's laying it out, the way his organization promotes it, the bishopric is an exalted title. But he goes back to saying, well, if you're uneducated, you can't go by these exalted titles. If you have no record of ministerial formation, if you can't produce a transcript, if you can't produce a parchment, a certificate, something that gives us, you know, some evidence that you have some training, you have no right to these exalted titles. Here it is again.
And women for episcopal office. The problem at the time and even now was the illegitimate manner in which bishops proliferated onto the church scene. They erupted on the scene motivated by personal desires for acclaim and having insufficient academic and or spiritual credentials.
You see, having insufficient or non-existent academic training. See, in other words, this group that he oversees only permits scholars. You have to have educated men and women. You have to have erudites. Here it is again.
They erupted on the scene motivated by personal desires for acclaim and having insufficient academic and or spiritual credentials. They had no record of ministerial formation to say nothing of the right to be called by exalted titles.
See, you have no right to be called by exalted titles. You have no right to be called a bishop. If you have no track record of ministerial formation, if you have no track record of academics. So again, if his organization, I think, must be nearing 1,000 bishops, and all of them, according to Bishop Ellis, all of them and he's talking on this YouTube video. The YouTube video is entitled, What is a Joint College? And I can see there he has commentaries. He's got Greek dictionaries. He's got Hebrew dictionaries. I mean, he's got theological word dictionaries. I mean, he's got a Britannica up there. The guy has some shelves. I think that underneath the Greek theological dictionary, that would be Philip Schaff's works on the creeds of Christendom. Yeah, we all have these books. I mean, if you have a legitimate doctorate, and I checked out this guy's supposed website, and well, it is his website. It's not supposed; it is his website. It's his official website, and on that official website, I mean, it states that the man has 3 doctorates. Well, can't tell by the book he wrote. Can't tell that. Can't tell. But again, listen to this, because I think this is critical, because if they put together this corpus, this religious institution, to ensure that the black church had truly educated ministers, then why is it that not one member of the Joint College of African American Bishops can call this show and put me in my place? That wouldn't be too hard if you're standing on the truth. That wouldn't be too difficult. I mean, I contend that I can put them in their place. That's what I contend. And like I said yesterday, you know, every time I do one of these broadcasts, it's like being in the ring with someone who won't punch back. It's like being in a ring. It's like two boxers. One boxer has his hands by his side, and the other boxer's just, you know, landing haymakers on his face, uppercut, jab, and the other guy's unwilling to throw a punch. Here I am. I mean, I'm socking it to this institution. I'm socking it to this bogus organization because it's a fake. All of these bishops are fake. They're fake bishops, in my estimation. They're fake. And not one of them, and they claim to have all of this scholarship. Here it is again.
And even now, was the illegitimate man. The Joint College of Bishops is a vision that grew out of a perceived need for preparing historically African-American men and women for Episcopal office.
See, it was a perceived need to prepare, to educate, to mentor, to train men and women for the Episcopal office. I mean, that's why the institution exists. To school people, to school them. Well, it seems like it's not a school because none of its graduates, and by graduates, I mean if you've been elevated, if you've had an elevation service, if you had an elevation / enthronement service, it means you've graduated this institution. Well, I mean, they have hundreds of bishops that they've elevated, but not one of those guys can, you know, answer the bell. You know, when the guy at ringside hits the bell, I mean, the two guys sitting on the bench at the opposite sides of the ring, you know, they're each in their stool. You're sitting there, and your cut guy is washing your face and putting in your mouthpiece. And so when the guy hits the bell, you got to answer the bell. You got to stand up. Well, I'm standing up. I'm in the middle of the ring, and not one of these guys. Where are these guys? They're not even giving me a boxer. They're not giving me a boxer. And it seems to me like this bishop, this metropolitan, who is standing, I don't know if this is his library. It could be a borrowed library. Who knows? This may not even be his library. These may not even be his books on those shelves. This may be someone else's office. He may just be using this as a background to kind of convince you that he knows what he's talking about. Obviously, in this 3 minute and 18 second video, this is just gibberish. Because I know my church history. I know what episcopacy is. We can go toe-to-toe. We can go toe-to-toe. We can talk about the creeds of the church. We can talk about definitely talk about historical theology. We can duke it out. Greek, Hebrew, not a problem. Latin, not a problem. Let's duke it out, Bishop Ellis. Let's talk. Let's set the record straight for the members of the African American church. Let's set the record straight. And I can tell you that the two books that we released, Jackass Church Bishops and the Houston Church, I can tell you that those books are 200 pages plus each one, with hundreds of footnotes. This little book on the bishopric that he wrote does not have one footnote, not one end note, not one note of note, nothing. And the guy has 3 doctorates? Please, please, please. Something's fishy. Something sounds fishy to me. Something sounds fishy. But here he is boasting about how this institution was started because there was a perceived need to educate men and women for Episcopal office.
The Joint College of Bishops is a vision that grew out of a perceived need for preparing historically African-American men and women for Episcopal office. Problem at the time and even now was the illegitimate manner in which bishops proliferated onto the church scene They erupted on the scene motivated by personal desires for acclaim and having insufficient academic and or spiritual credentials. They had no record of ministerial formation to say, nothing of the right to be called by exalted titles.
Don't you hear that? They don't have a right to the exalted titles we provide in our Joint College of African American Bishops if they don't have a record of ministerial formation and sufficient academic training to our liking. Well. As you turn to the Book of Acts, and I would encourage Bishop Ellis to do so, because Peter and John didn't have, I guess Peter and John could not be, I don't think Peter and John could be members of the Joint College of African American Bishops if they were alive today, because in Acts chapter 4 verse 13, and when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. But they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. See, John and Peter didn't have transcripts. They didn't have valid records of ministerial formation. They didn't have that. But one thing, the leaders of the Jewish Sanhedrin noticed, they said, there's a lot of Jesus that rubbed off on these guys. These guys have been with Jesus. They haven't been with us. They can't be members of the Sanhedrin. We wouldn't allow them. Why? Why wouldn't we allow them? Because based on our standards, they were unlearned and ignorant men. But one thing we do acknowledge, these men have been with Jesus. So I guess Peter and John could not join. They wouldn't have what Bishop J. Delano Ellis is looking for, what his group is looking for. Peter, do you have any record of ministerial formation? Well, does being with Jesus count? No, it doesn't count. Doesn't count, really. Because we're looking for transcripts. We're looking for some parchment. We're looking for some certificate. We're looking for someone to vouch for you. And they simply said, well, we've been with the Lord. And J. Delano Ellis would say to them, if I was to send in an application today, I guarantee you that if I was to send J. Delano Ellis and the Joint College of African American Bishops a application, and in the application, wherever they have academic, I leave all of it out. And I put there, and they say, well, what do you have? I'll say, the only thing I have is that I've been with Jesus. They would reject my application. They would reject it. Just like the Sanhedrin rejected Peter and John and wanted nothing to do with them. Why? Because, again, the Sanhedrin was a Satan organization. That's what it was. By the time that Jesus came on the scene, Jesus looked at them, members of the Sanhedrin, and he said to them, you are of your father, the devil. You are of your father, the devil. And the members of the High Church Society, which is what Bishop J. Delano Ellis is pushing, they had taken God's house and turned it from a house of prayer, and they turned it into a den of thieves. That's why Jesus went in there twice and cleaned out the house, kicking people out, kicking livestock out. Now, you see, again, I guarantee you that if I was to do what Peter and John did, and if I had this application today, April the 12th, 2017, if I had the application today, And if I was to mail it in to Cleveland, Ohio, to the joint, and in the area of academia, in the area of spiritual formation, spiritual training, if I was just to put there and I was to write the scripture, Acts 4:13, that all I have going for me is that I have been with Jesus, they wouldn't let me in their club. They wouldn't. They wouldn't do it. You see, because that's not what Bishop J. Delano Ellis and his group is looking for. And mind you, they claim to be the successors of Christ and the apostles. They claim. And we're going to get into that in a little bit. They claim to be the successors of Christ and the apostles. But even Peter and John couldn't get into, not based on their criteria, not based on the criteria he's presenting in this video. Peter and John, who have no record, because they're not taking word of mouth. J. Delano Ellis is not taking word of mouth. He's not taking that. That's no good. They want documentation. They want proof. John doesn't have a transcript. Peter doesn't have a transcript. The Jewish leaders determined, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. It means that that phraseology means that Peter and John were not formally trained in rabbinical schools, the schools which the Sanhedrin approved of. The schools that the Sanhedrin themselves, the Sanhedrin itself, had set up. They said, these guys, they didn't go to our school. They don't have any record of any formal training. They don't have any record of any formation in ministry. They checked. And Peter and John didn't pan out. But one thing Peter and John had going for them, which is what counts, is that they have been with Jesus. But that wouldn't count for J. Delano Ellis and his group, because that's not what they're looking for. They're looking for people with transcripts, with degrees, with parchments, with a record of spiritual formation, what they claim is spiritual formation, so that they can make part. But what amazes me is, if that's the criteria, and this institution already has, 1,000 bishops, why is it that they can't send one of those educated bishops to this broadcast? Why isn't, I mean, and let me tell you something, these propositions are being checked out. The numbers are extremely high. People are checking out these propositions. And I know that some of these people are members of the Joint College of Bishops. But they're not checking it out. They're not calling in the broadcast. They're not saying, hey, Radio Reformer, I'll take up your challenge. No, they're not doing that. So here's more from J. Delano Ellis, the grand poopah of the Joint College of African American Bishops.
This was especially true in the African American Pentecostal tradition. This is wrong on many levels, primarily because the motivation for ministry must be drawn from a slavish commitment to the cause of Christ.
Blah, blah, blah. There's no slavish commitment to the cause of Christ. That's baloney. And reading his book, you can just tell. Reading his book and listening to his YouTube videos on the Joint College will let you know that he's talking out of both sides of his mouth. There is no slavish commitment. None. Because if you're a slave, you don't have exalted titles. Did you catch him there? He talks about having a slavish commitment to the cause of God. But yet, you want to go by exalted titles. Exalted titles. So which one is it? Are you a bond servant of Jesus Christ? Or are you one that goes about with exalted titles? Which one is it?
And insufficient academic and or spiritual credentials. They had no record of ministerial formation to say nothing of the right to be called by exalted titles.
Look at that. They didn't have the right to be called by exalted titles. The right. They didn't have the right to be called by exalted titles. Well, I mean, Jesus said it beautifully. He who wants to be the greatest among you, come the servant of all. That's it. Servant. That's the most exalted title you can have in the church. Servant. And yet, there are no takers. There are no takers. And then this guy talks about, we need to have a slavish commitment to the cause of Christ. But you want to go around with exalted titles and you want to be dressed like a king 24/7 with your hands manicured. I kid you not. He's got a whole chapter here in this dopey book on how important it is to have your hands manicured. I wonder if Jesus ever got a manicure. I wonder if the apostles ever had manicures. He said, well, you know, you need to have your hands manicured because you lay hands on people. Well, Jesus laid hands on, multitudes of people. There's no record that Jesus went to a manicurist and had gloss put on his fingers and had his fingernails cleaned. But this guy spends an entire chapter in his dopey book. You know, in this book, and please allow me to do some barking. Please, will you let me do some barking today? Will you let me do some barking? Please allow me to do a little bit of barking today. Here is this mongoloid, because that's what you have to call him if you write this. This guy, the guy who wrote this is a retard. And his name is Bishop Carl H. Montgomery. This is what Bishop Carl H. Montgomery wrote, which leads me to conclude he's a mongoloid. He's a retard. And if you don't like the word mongoloid, it's in the Oxford Dictionary. I'm sorry. It's there. We can use it. He says, in writing the foreword, in concluding of the writing of the foreword, he said, I enjoyed reading the manuscript. You enjoyed reading this dopey, asinine book? He said, I enjoyed. That tells me he's a mongoloid. I enjoyed reading the manuscript. I even more enjoyed reflecting upon our generation's participation in this paradigm shift that will provide for future generations tools for excellence as the Lord delays his coming. Finally, for those of us who have been praying for Bishop Ellis to write, we trust this book and subject is an installment of more books to come. Please, please, Bishop Ellis, do us a favor. Don't write any more dopey books. Don't write any more. Please, please. We don't need any more books for special ed bishops. We don't need any more books for mongoloid bishops. Don't waste any ink or paper writing these dopey books. That's what I'm saying, folks. And this guy in his crew. The guy says, I enjoyed reading the manuscript. What manuscript? This is gibberish. What did you? This was a horrible read. The grammar in the book is horrid. It's horrible. And the subject matter is it's lifeless. There's no inspiration in the book. There's nothing in the book that grabs you. If I wanted to torture a terrorist, if I wanted to get information from a terrorist, I would force him to read this book. This book would cause the terrorist to give me the secrets he has faster than waterboarding would. You don't have to waterboard terrorists. Just send a pallet of these books to Guantanamo Bay. And the terrorists at Guantanamo Bay, if you force them to read this book, they would give you all the secrets you want. You don't have to waterboard them. This is worse than waterboarding. And that's why I don't understand. This guy talks about having a record of academic training. What record? This guy has 3 doctorates, and this was written, in my estimation, this book was written by a person who doesn't even have an associate's degree education. I know I'm an educator. I've read papers. This is worse than a student at the associate's level. This is being produced by a person who's in their first year of Bible school. First year. And this book has been out since when? When was this book put out? This book was put out, let me see here. When did it first? In 2003. Okay, that's 14 years ago. The guy couldn't revise the book? Couldn't correct the grammar? Couldn't add endnotes or footnotes to this dopey book? 14 years later, and the guy can't add anything to it? Here he is again.
The Joint College of Bishops is a vision that grew out of a perceived need for preparing historically African-American men and women for Episcopal office. Problem at the time and even now was the illegitimate manner in which bishops proliferated onto the church scene. They erupted on the scene motivated by personal desires for acclaim and having insufficient academic and or spiritual credentials. They had no record of ministerial formation to say nothing of the right to be called by exalted titles.
And what right is that? Nobody has a right to be called anything other than Jesus. Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It was God who gave him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess. There's no one to be exalted but the Lord. What's this guy talking about? What is this guy talking about? Don't have the right to go by exalted titles. No one has the right to go by any exalted title other than Jesus. For God has highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name. That at his name, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This guy doesn't represent Jesus. This guy's, in my opinion, he's an antichrist. And you can call the broadcast, Bishop Ellis. You can call the broadcast because you preach another gospel. You don't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You preach another gospel. You preach an end-time, ecumenical, anti-Christian, satanic, doctrines of demons gospel. That's what you preach. And you can call the broadcast. Or I can go to Cleveland, Ohio, the next time you have your Congress for the joint, and we can debate the whole weekend that you have your Congress. I'll be willing to debate you there in the lion's den. How about that? I'll give you home field advantage. I'll go to Cleveland, Ohio, and I'll go among your thousands of bishops. And we can go mano a mano in front of everybody. You can bring your Greek and Hebrew lexicons, your Latin lexicons. You can bring whatever tomes you want to from your church history library. And we can just go at it. Let's see if he will take my offer. Let's see.
This was especially true in the African American Pentecostal tradition. This is wrong on many levels, primarily because the motivation for ministry must be drawn from a slavish commitment to the cause of Christ and the upbuilding of his kingdom. We saw the need for providing training and tools for perfecting leadership with a view to the bishopric.
Yeah. But you're providing all of this training and you're graduating all these people because they're being elevated. They went through your training process and not one can call the broadcast.
The responsibility for both protecting the episcopacy and assuring it conforms to orthodoxy.
If I'm in the wrong and you're in the right, why doesn't someone call in? Why doesn't someone, if you got to protect it, and I'm blowing holes into it, why doesn't someone from your elite group call the broadcast?
Includes having some measure of watch care for weeding out the unsuitable and pretenders to the chair.
See, pretenders would be Peter and John or myself. See, we don't match up. Well, let's go to today's proposition because I'm going to show you that this guy is talking out of both sides of his mouth. It says Proposition 17, the Joint College of African American Bishops claims that the Lord ordered the founding of the institution and that it was made clear training was to become the curriculum by which this religious body was to be governed. But this flat out contradicts the teachings of Christ and his apostles, whom these bishops claim to succeed in the ministry. Let me read this to you again. The Joint College of African American Bishops claims that the Lord ordered the founding of this institution. We covered that yesterday. We don't need to go over that. We saw that their claim was hollow. It's a hollow claim. It has no foundation. Their claim is bogus. The Lord did not order the founding of this institution. There is no record of a prophetic word or a vision being received by the African American church, and by the way, by the African American Pentecostal church, which actually believes in dreams and visions and prophetic words. There's no record of any vision or any word from the Lord Jesus ordering the founding of this institution, none whatsoever. Now, they go on to say, and that it was made clear that Episcopal-style training was to become the curriculum by which this religious body was to be governed. Now, it's that second part. See, it's that second part which reads that it was made clear, and we have to ask who made that clear, because it was made clear, but by who? It was made clear that Episcopal-style training was to become the curriculum by which this religious body was to be governed. This flat-out contradicts the teachings of Christ and his apostles, whom these bishops claim to succeed in the ministry. Well, let's deal with this proposition. Let me break it down for you. Let me make it plain with the Holy Spirit's help. Well, when they talk about episcopacy, and let me read this to you. Let me read it to you from page 13 in the book, The Bishopric, the handbook on creating episcopacy in the African American Pentecostal Church. On page 13, which is the introduction, it reads like this. When this college was ordered by the Lord. Okay, again, we dealt with that yesterday. There is no record. There is no official record. There are no witnesses that this is true. None. And the four bishops that were together do not make up the witness, because none of them will vouch for the fact that this thing was started because the Lord spoke. It is not an Acts 13 situation where the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them." There's no such record of any prophetic word or vision. And we Pentecostals believe in that. So when this college was ordered by the Lord, and again, we want proof. We want evidence. They can't provide any. It was made clear that Episcopal-style training was to become the curriculum by which we would be governed. See, again, I'm going from the introduction. When this college was ordered by the Lord, but no details are given. And the reason why no details are given is because the Lord never spoke to them. The Lord never ordered this. This was a creation of their own minds, completely man-made. Jesus never sanctioned this. So it says, when this college was ordered by the Lord, it was made clear that Episcopal-style training was to become the curriculum by which we would be governed. I took it right off the page in his book. Now, how was it made clear? How was it made clear? How? Who spoke the word? How was this revelation brought forth? And the fact that the training, the curriculum, is to be Episcopal-styled is flat out contradicts the teachings of Christ and his apostles. You see, again, we've already proven beyond any shadow of a doubt that this college was not founded by Christ. It was not ordered by the Lord. It was not decreed by the Savior. It was not mandated by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Four men came up with the idea. And they piggybacked off of a human vision from a Bishop J.O. Patterson. That we concluded yesterday. Not only do they claim that the college was ordered by the Lord, but then that it was made clear that Episcopal-style training was to become the curriculum by which we would be governed. So, if that's the case, if some way, somehow, it was made clear, and we're not told who made it clear, how was it made clear, we're not told. But when it was made clear that Episcopal-style training was to become the curriculum by which this religious body was to be governed, we must conclude here at Reformation News that this flat-out contradicts the teachings of Christ and his apostles, whom these bishops fraudulently claim to succeed in the ministry. Because they're not following Christ and his apostles. Christ and his apostles would not teach such nonsense. They wouldn't teach such nonsense. Now, in the book that we just released, Nehushtan Church Bishops, in that book, we give you a lengthy dissertation. We explain to you that in the first century when Christ established his church, he gave his church biblical episcopacy. We show you from the word of God, what biblical episcopacy is, which is simply servant leaders. A bishop / elder / pastor in the New Testament spoke of one and the same person. And there is biblical episcopacy, and you'll find it. You'll find it in the Gospels, and you'll find it in the writings of the apostles. You'll find it in the 27 books of the New Testament. You'll find biblical episcopacy, which is nothing more than servant leadership. Servant leadership. Now, when Bishop Ellis talks about episcopacy, when he talks about episcopal style training, he's talking about a perverted form of episcopacy. He's talking about Romish Anglican episcopacy, which is nothing more than the king bishop. The king bishop, not the servant bishop, but the king bishop, is what we call the monarchical bishopric. Is when the church who has a bishop really has a king, has a king, has a king. Now, the church was never supposed to have kings. It's supposed to have one king, and that's Christ Jesus, but it's not supposed to have kings. It is not supposed to have kings. Plural. It's supposed to have one king, one, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So when Bishop Ellis speaks of episcopal style training, what he means by that is what the Roman Catholic Church teaches and what the Anglican Church teaches, and what the Roman Catholic Church and the Anglican Church teach is in direct opposition to what Christ and his apostles taught. The two episcopacies are diametrically opposed, because Christ's episcopacy is one of servanthood, and Romish Anglican episcopacy is one of rulership, ruling with an iron fist. That's what that is. And again, I turn to chapter 3 in Bishop Ellis's book. And when it talks about apostolic succession, because that's the title of chapter 3, it says, no person should have the right to exercise or conduct themselves in any episcopal matter of our churches without apostolic succession and episcopal dispensations to do so. We believe that bishops are the direct descendants of the Lord Jesus Christ through his apostles. Well, you could have fooled me. You see, he says, we believe that bishops are the direct descendants of the Lord Jesus Christ through his apostles. Well, you can't be his direct descendant if you have a teaching that flat out contradicts the teachings of Christ. If you have a leadership structure that flat out contradicts the leadership structure of Jesus, you are not on Jesus' team. You are on an opposite team. You're on an opposite team. Simple as that. Simple as that. Now, on page 24 and 25 of his book, The Bishopric, A Handbook on Creating Episcopacy and the African American Church, he has a chapter on episcopal orders. Okay? So let me read to you what this guy says about episcopal orders. He says, chapter 4, page 24, the title of the chapter, Episcopal Orders, he writes, there are six orders of the prelature in the Church of Jesus Christ. Six? Six orders? Where did he get that from? Because it's not in the Bible. It's not in the New Testament. He says, five of the orders are episcopal and one is potentiary. For our purposes here, we will name the orders of the prelature and then offer brief explanations according to their purviews. This list is not designed to subjugate anyone in either of the said offices, but to provide a sense of first among equals. that has always been the hallmark of the apostolic office. No, it's not. Okay, so here are the six offices. Number one, the presiding bishop. That is the primate or general overseer. The second is the ordinary bishop. The third is the coadjutor. The fourth is the suffragan. The fifth is the auxiliary. And the sixth is the overseer. Now, can anyone tell me, where can you find these in the Bible? Can you find the presiding bishop? Can somebody find, and I am a church history student. I am a church history buff. I can't find these. Not in my New Testament, I can't. No, I can't find them. I can't find them in the first six centuries of the church. I can't find this stuff. I can tell you when. I'll leave it for the debate. I can tell you exactly when this surfaced and who pushed it and when was it adopted and why. But we'll leave that for the debate. But you can't show me from Scripture that you have, number one, the presiding bishop. Under the presiding bishop, you have the ordinary bishop. Under the ordinary bishop, you have the coadjutor bishop. Number four, you have the suffragan bishop. Then you have number five, the auxiliary bishop. And then number six, the overseer. Folks. So this is his pyramid. This is the pyramid of power. This is how the pyramid, and the person sitting on top of the pyramid, like Pharaoh, is the presiding bishop. And as you know, God doesn't want his people to have anything to do with pyramids. Ask Moses and the Israelites who came out of Egypt. There was a reason why God caused an exodus. He caused his people to come out of Egypt because it was a pyramidal society and God wouldn't have it. Because that kind of society only blesses one and puts everyone else in bondage, in servitude. So, I read to you about apostolic succession. They claimed to follow Christ and the apostles, but Christ and the apostles didn't have this pyramid structure. They didn't have this. And these episcopal orders that are in this book, because I'm reading from his book on page 24 and 25, you cannot find this in all of the New Testament. Just can't. I can tell you where you can find it. I can tell you when it first surfaced in the soul culture. I can tell you when. I can tell you where. I can tell you who was promoting it and why. But we will leave that for the debate. I don't want to use all the bullets in my gun right now. We'll leave that for the debate. So where did Bishop Ellis get this leadership structure from? Where did he get this Episcopal-style leadership structure? Well, he didn't get it from Christ, and he didn't get it from Paul and Barnabas, when they started to plant churches throughout the Gentile world, they didn't use this leadership structure. You can't find any of this in the book of Acts. You can't find any of this in the epistles of Paul or in the general epistles. You can't find any of this in the Gospels. In fact, what you find is the Lord and his apostles admonishing leaders not to follow a worldly format, which is what this is. This is a worldly format. Romish Anglican Episcopacy is straight out of the world. And you know who controls the world. The God of this world. Satan does. Satan does. So I'm going to make my case by simply reading three scriptures. I'm going to give you what Jesus said on the subject. And then I'm going to give you what two of his apostles said on the subject. And by the mouth of two or three witnesses, let all things be what? Established. okay, because Bishop Ellis cannot give us a Bible verse. He can't. And again, let me read Proposition 17. The Joint College of African American Bishops claim that the Lord ordered the founding of the institution. A lie. No proof, no evidence. The institution is completely man-made. And, he goes on, they go on to claim that it was made clear that Episcopal-style training was to become the curriculum by which this religious body was to be governed. And by Episcopal-style training, they're talking about Romish and Anglican training, the code of canon law. It goes on to say, my proposition does, but this flat out contradicts the teachings of Christ and his apostles, whom these bishops claim to succeed in the ministry. Well, let's go into the gospel according to St. Matthew. Matthew chapter 20. And here the Lord deals with hierarchy in the church. He's dealing with hierarchy, with ranks and positions of power, a pyramid, if you will, a pyramid of power. Now, in Matthew chapter 20, verse 20, and it came to pass that the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons worshiping him, came to Jesus, worshiping him, and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? And she said unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit on thy right hand and the other in thy left hand in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said unto her, you know not what you ask. Are you able? Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I shall be baptized with, which is the cup of suffering and the baptism of suffering? You see, those positions are reserved for people who are ready to drink of the cup of suffering and the baptism of suffering. And they said unto him, we are able. And he said unto them, ye shall indeed drink of my cup, and shall be baptized with the baptism that I shall be baptized with. You will suffer. But to sit on my right hand and on my left, it is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. Then when the 10 heard it, when the other 10 disciples heard this, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. Now, why were they mad? Well, because the two brothers behind their back were trying to get positions of higher rank. Maybe James was trying to be the metropolitan and John was trying to be the presiding bishop. They were trying to move up the ladder of success behind the backs of the other 10. And this move, this got the other 10 mad. But Jesus called them unto him and said, you know very well that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them. And they that are great among the Gentiles exercise authority upon them. In other words, you know that in the world, political leaders subjugate the masses. They subjugate the public. They rule them with an iron fist. That's what Jesus is saying. Again, he says, you know that the princes of the Gentiles, the kings, the leaders, the people high up in power, they do what? They exercise dominion over them. And they that are great among the Gentiles exercise great authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. You see, what did Jesus say? You're not to be like the world. You're not to have a pyramid of power. There's not supposed to be no presiding bishops. There's not supposed to be anyone pulling rank. This is a team where we're all servants. Jesus goes on to say, but it shall not be so among you. So how can the Joint College of African American Bishops claim to be the successors of Christ and his apostles when they have a leadership structure that is completely different from the leadership structure that Jesus talked about? He said, it shall not be so among you, but those four bishops said, you know what? We don't care what Jesus says. We're going to do our own thing. And that's why I'm telling you, Jesus never ordered the founding of this college, because he would not order the founding of something that would go contrary to his will. He says in verse 26, but it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be the greatest among you, let him be your minister. He goes on to say, and whosoever will be the chief among you, let him be your servant, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life in ransom for many. You see, he says, I'm the example. You follow my example. I am the Savior. I am the Messiah. I am God incarnate. And what do you see me doing? You see me being the servant of all. I want you to follow in my footsteps. There to be nobody's supposed to be plotting and conniving and politicking behind the scenes to get the upper hand and to get seats of power over the others. That's what the Gentiles do. And when they get those positions of power, they rule with an iron fist. It shall not be so among you. But evidently, the Joint College of Bishops can care less what Jesus said. They can care less what the Lord of the church says. And that's why I tell you, it flat out contradicts the teachings of Christ. But now let me give you also the teaching of his apostles. Let me give you Peter. In his first epistle, chapter 5, Peter says in verse 1, the elders which are among you, elder, what's an elder? An elder in the first century, an elder was also a pastor and was also a bishop. The three terms were synonymous. It spoke of one man, three functions. An elder is one with wisdom and experience and who can offer sound advice. That's an elder, someone who's been plugged into God for years and has downloaded the wisdom of God and the knowledge of God, an elder. And notice it's in the plural, the elders. But also an elder was a pastor, because a pastor feeds and protects a flock. And then an elder and a pastor is also a bishop. What's a bishop? A bishop is one who provides spiritual oversight, nothing more, nothing less. Spiritual oversight, not dictatorship, not a tyranny. He's not a despot. But a bishop is one who provides spiritual oversight. In the first century, all terms were used interchangeably. Elder, bishop, pastor. Three different terms, the same person. There was no hierarchy. And if you read the book, Nehushtan Church Bishops, I devote chapters to that, chapters. And I do give you footnotes, because I don't make stuff up. I fully document this reality. I document it. That's why you need the book, Nehushtan Church Bishops. Now, he goes on to say, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also a what? What am I? An elder. Does he pull rank? Does Peter say, I got more authority? And now, obviously he did. He's writing to them. But he's acting as a servant. He's not acting as a tyrant. He's acting as a servant. He says, listen, guys, I'm an elder too. But listen to my advice. Because I was a witness of the sufferings of Christ. I am one of his disciples. I know what I'm talking about. Jesus came and he said, I will be the servant of all, and I will give my life in ransom for many. I am a witness of his sufferings. and I shall be a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. He says, verse 2, feed the flock of God that is among you, taking the oversight thereof. In other words, manage the flock. Take the oversight, not by constraint, but willingly. Not because of filthy lucre's sake, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage. Now, the phrase, being lords over, the three English words, being lords, lowercase L-O-R-D-S, being lords over is a compound Greek word, and is katakurio. Katakurio. It means to have dominion over in an intense way, to rule over somebody else with great intensity, to get mastery over somebody, to overpower them, to subdue them. Peter says, you don't lead the church by manhandling the church. You don't lead the church by ruling with an iron fist. You don't lead the church by becoming a dictator, not lording over, not being lords over. He says, no, we don't lead God's people that way. There are no hierarchies. We lead by serving and we lead by love. That's how we get people to follow. We lead. We don't need titles for people to follow us. What we need to do is dispense love, and dispense service. That's how we, he says, not, he goes, he says, neither as being Lord over God's heritage. Don't hijack God's kingdom. Don't make it your own. This word, katakurio, it actually means to exercise absolute authority. To exercise, it's like a dictator. It's akin to being a dictator, a despot. Like what they have over there in North Korea. You speak up, and the leader of North Korea will poison you. You'll wind up, you're dead. You'll be executed. You can't talk up in Cuba. You talk up in Cuba, and the Castro brothers will have you killed. You talk up in Iran, you talk up in China, and they'll make you disappear off the face of the earth. You talk up in Russia, you'll disappear off the face of the earth. You can't talk in those tyrannical, despotic countries. The leaders will have you killed. And Peter says, we're not like that. That's not how we provide oversight to the people of God. We don't become monarchical bishops. We're not kings. We are not kings. Not lording, not being lords. You're not a prince, I'm not a prince. You're not a monarch, I'm not a monarch. You're not a king, I'm not a king. We are servants. He who wants to be great among you, let him become the servant of all. Greatness comes by means of loving and serving. Not by the clothes you wear, not by the club you join, not by the training you have. But by loving and caring for God's people. And then, that's Peter. But if you go to the third epistle of John, John is writing this letter because there's a troublemaker in the church. There is a man who wants to become a monarchical bishop. He wants to become a despot. He wants to become a dictator. He wants to become a tyrant. And Paul says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them. You see, what is Diotrephes love? He loves to have the preeminence. Philoproteo in Greek. He just loves to be number one. He keeps pushing his power and his position. He does not want to be equal. He wants to be number one. And he will fight you. And he'll fight whoever he needs to fight in order to secure that he's number one. He loveth to have the preeminence. He wants to be number one and won't settle for anything less. John says, Wherefore, when I come, I will remind him of his deeds, which he doeth. What does he do? He prates against us with malicious words. He speaks evil of us. And not content with that, neither does he receive the missionaries and forbids the brethren to receive them. And if they do, Diotrephes will cast them out of the church. You see, my brothers and sisters, this is a monarchical bishop turned Nero. Turned Nero. We're not supposed to be lords over God's heritage. We're not to be like the Gentile princes whom Jesus spoke of, who have and who exercise and who flex their muscle and demonstrate great authority over the masses. And we're not to be like the Diotrephes. We're not to seek the title presiding bishop. We're not to go up the pyramid of power. No, that should not be us. Christ and his apostles taught differently. These members of the Joint College of African American Bishops, they claim to be the successors of Christ and the apostles, but I find that impossible to believe. Because they contradict what Jesus says in Matthew 20, and they contradict what Peter says in 1 Peter 5, and they contradict what John said in the third epistle of John, chapter 1. They completely go contrary to the teachings of Christ and his apostles. So, my brothers and sisters, I have to conclude, as I did yesterday. The Joint College of African American Bishops claims to have been ordered by the Lord, but the founding of this institution is not of Christ, because Christ would not establish something that would oppose him. Secondly, they claim that it was made clear to them that the organization would have Episcopal-style training as its curriculum. But then again, Romish Anglican training goes contrary to the training of Christ and his apostles. So we would have to conclude, my brothers and sisters, that this organization is not of the Lord, that the training is not of the Lord. And here is Bishop Ellis. Here he is.
The very first steps beyond commitment to Christ, divine calling, and theological preparation on the part of a candidate must be the development in them of a very high moral content of character with a strong emphasis on family.
Well, why don't you start at Matthew 20, 1 Peter 5, and 3 John? Why don't you start there?
It is only then that a person can truly be considered ready for episcopacy consideration. It is with this in mind that I, along with the now Archbishops Roy Edmund Brown, the late Wilbert Sterling McKinley, and Presiding Bishop Paul Morton, were compelled to establish this joint college. This vision has expanded to include annual congresses where candidates, freshmen, bishops, and as well as seasoned bishops, they come to be instructed, inspired, and sharpened in all areas of ministries and graces. However, the college is much, much more. The Joint College of African American Bishops is a concordat of Pentecostal and like faith Christian hierarchy who have...
Did you hear that? Like faith Christian hierarchy. But there are to be no hierarchies. You see how he's putting his foot in his mouth? There is no hierarchy in Christ. There's no hierarchy. I mean, Jesus said, now, when you look at the Gentiles, this is what they do. They have these hierarchies. But he then turned to his disciples and he said, and this shall not be so among you. I mean, do you need to have a PhD to understand that? I mean, it's anyone with a sixth grade reading comprehension level can understand when Jesus said, and it shall not be so among you, it means it won't be so among you. But this guy's pushing hierarchy. But John said, Diotrephes' problem is that he loves to have the preeminence. He keeps pushing this idea that he's got to be number one, and that he's got to be in control, and that he's got to call the shots, and that all power is in him. That's Diotrephes' problem. And Peter warns the elders, he says, not lording over the Lord's heritage. Don't forget who the Lord is. It's not you. He's the Lord. Therefore, you can't lord over. He's the Lord of the church, and he rules us with love and service. And as his ministers, we must serve the people the same way the Lord serves the people, with love and service. But this guy's pushing hierarchy. He's pushing a pyramid scam. He's pushing Episcopal Babel.
However, the college is much, much more. The Joint College of African American Bishops is a concordat of Pentecostal and light faith Christian hierarchy who have banded together without the affliction of theological conflict.
You see, they banded together like Nimrod got the people to band at Babel. And there's no fighting at Babel. Notice. Nimrod, who was a mighty hunter, who was a mighty warrior, told the people, put down your weapons. We're not going to fight anymore. We are not going to fight. We're just going to come together and make us a name. It's the same thing, folks. It is the same thing. We're going to band together. We're not going to fight. Put down your arms. Put down your weapons. Let's come together and let's sing Kumbaya. But Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. So this guy's telling you, this bishop, J. Delano Ellis, is telling you what Nimrod said. Put down your weapons. Let's come together in unity. And let's build this tower and let us make a name. And Jesus said, I didn't come to build towers. I didn't come to build hierarchies. I came to bring a sword. I didn't come to bring peace. I didn't come so that you can sing Kumbaya. I came that you might earnestly contend for the faith. And this guy's saying, no, we have a different agenda. Well, then you have a different Lord, and it's not the Lord Jesus Christ. Because from what I can tell, the Joint College of African American Bishops is doing everything contrary to what Jesus and his apostles said. Here it is again.
The College of African American Bishops is a concordat of Pentecostal and light faith Christian hierarchy who have banded together without the affliction of theological conflict, but rather joined by a shared commitment to moral excellence, devotion to orthodoxy, and with a view to expanding the influence of the message of Christ in the Pentecostal tradition.
It's a different gospel. It is a different gospel. And Bishop Ellis, I challenge you to a debate. And just make sure that you bring your Greek and Latin and Hebrew lexicons. Make sure you bring your church history tomes. I'll be bringing mine. I will be carrying suitcases of books, and we can hash this out. And the reason why I want to bring the books is because I want people to see where we're pulling the information from, because we want to give the people footnotes. Footnotes. We want to give them evidence. 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 You know, when you look at Matthew 20, there's so much there in the Greek. When you look at 1 Peter 5, there's so much there in the Greek. When you look at 3 John 9, there's so much there in the original Greek. I mean, there's just so much there that will just take Bishop Ellis's, you know, Episcopal-style curriculum and just blow it to smithereens. But we'll leave that for the debate. We'll leave it for the debate. Because the Lord Jesus did not speak out of both sides of his mouth. The devil speaks out of both sides of his mouth, not the Lord Jesus. Well, saints, I'll be back tomorrow with another proposition, Lord willing. God bless you.
Almighty force of sin, our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. Though still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe, Jesus, it is He.